But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I want to think about that for a moment. Think about the Virgin Mary. We call her the Blessed Virgin Mary because she was blessed by God. We think of her, in the words of the ancient church, as the Theotokos. The Theotokos, that's a Greek word, and it means the God-bearer. She bore God. She gave birth to God. We'll find out in a moment in what way. In Latin, the phrase is Mater Dei, which means Mother of God. How is Mary the Mother of God? And here is how. The Bible tells us that Mary, who did not know a human father, who did not know a human husband, who had no relations, experienced the miracle of the Holy Spirit taking of her substance and creating from her substance a unique human being who was fully human, just like you and me in every single way, except for one thing. He never sinned. So she gives birth to a very human baby. I often think in Luther's hymn, Away in the Manger, the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I'm not convinced that's true. I think that the little Lord Jesus did cry, because that's how babies tell you, I need to be changed. And so he was a fully human baby. He was taken from Mary's ovum and made into a real, complete, full human being. But he is at the same time Almighty God, true God of true God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, begotten, not made, who always existed. There never was a time that the Lord Jesus, as God, did not exist. And so there in the unity with the Father and the Holy Spirit and the eternal Son of God, he lives and he chooses to come into this world and to become a human being. Now Mary experienced the amazing truth of the visitation from the angel Gabriel, who told her that she was going to become with child, and it would not be by means of a normal conception. It would be a miraculous thing. And so she becomes with child, and she and her espoused husband, not yet married, she travels with him to Bethlehem, which is the city of David, where she gives birth. So she gives birth to him who has always been as God, but who only came to be 9 months before, when by the miracle of the Holy Spirit, she came to be with child. Now think about that experience for a moment, and think about on this night, and it could easily have been on December 24th, I've been in Bethlehem in February when it snowed, and so it could have been on December 24th. She gives birth to her firstborn son. The shepherds come, and they're telling them, Mary and Joseph, all the wonderful things that have happened. We saw an angel. We heard an angel tell us about this birth. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men goodwill. Now Mary, we're told in verse 19, treasured up all these things. She took them, as it were, and saved them in the box of her heart. And she did something else. We're told that she pondered them. Literally, she bounced them back and forth in her heart. What's going on? Could it really be all that's happened to me? really happen to me? I mean, there has to be this wonder. I've been present at the birth of four of my five children and was actually present at the birth of my first grandson who's here with us tonight. It's an amazing thing to witness a childbirth. It's amazing. Takes your breath away. For guys. For women, it's something else. So the Virgin Mary goes through all of these things. And on that very night when she gives birth to the little Lord Jesus, the shepherds come and tell her these things, and she ponders them. What I want you to reflect with me on for just a moment this evening is that she still had a ways to go. And if you turn over in the Gospel of Luke to chapter 8, you discover something rather striking. You discover on page 1606, Luke 8:19, that she wasn't fully a believer yet. It's an interesting thing. We read there in verse 19, "Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd." Verse 20, someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." And Jesus' response is very striking, and it reveals something of the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." He's not speaking evil of his mother. He's simply recognizing a fact that the Virgin Mary, like you and me, struggles with what's going on in the world. She wrestles with it. It's hard to believe when a baby has soiled his diapers and you're changing those diapers, that you're changing the diapers of the eternal Son of the eternal God. She ponders these things. And Jesus' half-brothers and sisters, those children born of Mary through Joseph, later on were not believers. In fact, John chapter 8 makes that very plain. John chapter 7 makes that very plain, that his brothers didn't believe in him. And that helps explain something at the cross. As Jesus is dying, he says something. He says to the Apostle John, who was his most devout disciple, "Behold your mother," referring to his mother Mary. And he says to her, "Dear woman, behold your son." Why? Why does the Lord Jesus entrust his mother into the care of one of his disciples instead of one of those children? And there's a very great reason for that. Until the Lord Jesus rose from the dead and proved himself to be alive by many infallible proofs, his brothers didn't believe. Afterwards, they became devout believers. In fact, the head of the church in Jerusalem, James, not the original disciple James, but James, the brother of Jesus, became a very devout follower of Christ. And so did Jude, his brother. Mary grows in her faith. Think of it. She took those words, she took those events that she had witnessed that very night when the eternal Son of God, who had become a real human being like you and me, when he was born. And so as he grows up, she wrestles with things. Can it really be that what I was told so long ago by the angel Gabriel is really true? That he really is the Son of God? And just imagine the anguish of Mary at the foot of the cross as her own child, her firstborn child, is put to death. Wow. And those words, "Woman, behold your son. John, behold your mother." And he takes her in and he nourishes her faith so that she comes out on Pentecost Sunday with his brothers as a devout, unquestioning affirming, "My firstborn son is indeed the eternal Son of God." Now, there's a lesson in that for you and me. And that lesson is this: who you hang out with. Jesus did not want his mother hanging out with his half-brothers and sisters because they didn't believe at that point. He wanted to make sure that his mother received the most important thing there is in the whole wide world, which isn't physical food, it's the food for the soul. He wanted to make sure that his mother had encouraging words and was surrounded by people who believed and who loved him and who would affirm the truth that she heard when she was a teenager, engaged to be married but not yet married, and told that wonderful story by the angel Gabriel and how it unfolded. And so she treasured those things, those words, up in her heart, and she pondered them. She meditated on them. That is a very, very important part of the Christian life. It is to take the truth that we know, the truth that we've received, and to hide it in our hearts, to treasure it there, and then to bounce it back and forth in our minds throughout the day. That's called meditation. And Christian meditation is radically different from all other kinds of meditation. Christian meditation is to think about the mighty acts of God and His precious Word. And that's what the Virgin Mary did. And that's why we honor Mary today as the Theotokos, the Greek word, the God-bearer, as the Mater Dei, the Mother of God in His human nature, not in His divine nature. We honor her that on this night, she who was an ordinary human being in every way, who struggled with unbelief and struggled with sin, not like her son, who did not struggle with sin. She struggled and she pondered these things. Can it be true? Can it be true that on Christmas Eve, the eternal Son of the eternal God became a real, true human being, and He was born? And that I, the Virgin Mary, who has never known a human man in that way, gave birth to Almighty God in His human nature? And the answer that we affirm is yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, and He did become a human being just like you, except for sin. And He was born in this world for one fundamental purpose, and that was that He would take our place, that He would die on the cross for you and me, that we would know what it is truly to be forgiven. And that's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve is so important because it's the most important event except for the crucifixion and resurrection. Because without Christmas, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is of no consequence. Christmas is about God becoming man. And would you join me in pondering that, in treasuring that truth in your heart like Mary, and casting it around? Cast it around tonight as you await Christmas morning. Cast it around in your mind, now to children this word, as instead of visions of sugar plums dancing in your head. Let this dance in your head as you try to fall asleep. Think of it. The great gift of Christmas is God became a real, true human being, just like me, except He never sinned, and He died on the cross for our sins. May we pray. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the anticipation of Christmas morning. Lord, we thank You for the gift of Your eternal Son, who became a true human being. We thank You for the willingness of a teenage mother, unmarried, to become with child and to give birth. Lord, we thank you for all of these things. And Lord, we pray that as we partake of this bread and wine, you would bless them to us, that they would nourish our senses as the word has nourished us being spoken. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.